Welcome to the My Crazy Office podcast with the authors of Working With You Is Killing Me, Working For You Isn't Working For Me, and Mean Girls at Work, Kathy Elster and Catherine Crowley. They're committed to creating world peace one crazy office at a time. And now, here are Kathy and Catherine.
Hi, everyone. I'm Kathy Elster.
And I'm Catherine Crowley, and welcome to My Crazy Office.
Today, we're going to cover a topic that is near and dear to our hearts. We really relate to this. It's called the imposter syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
The Harvard Business Journal defines the imposter syndrome as a collection of feelings of inadequacy that persist despite evident success.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, I totally relate.
Mm-hmm.
First question reflects that. It concerns someone who's been offered a promotion, but she isn't sure she's capable enough to fill the job. And our second question, on the other hand, concerns an employee who actually has an overinflated sense of capabilities.
Both of those happen quite a bit.
Yeah.
It's interesting because the first situation is a case of underestimating, right? And the second is about overestimating one's abilities. So we'll get to see how we handle
those. Yeah, those are completely opposite. Okay, so let's go to our first question, Logan.
My boss just announced that he's leaving and approached me to find out if I'd like to be considered for his position. My first reaction was to say, no, I don't think I'm ready. He then assured me that I have all of the qualifications necessary to do a great job. With that boost of confidence, I said, okay. But now, as I'm in the process of applying for his job, all I can think is that they will find out how little I actually know. I'm suddenly feeling very insecure. Should I be pursuing this promotion, or should I just withdraw my candidacy?
Oh. No, go for it.
Go.
Go for it. If your boss feels that you're right for the job, then you should go for it, because we can't always trust ourselves.
No, we certainly can't.
In this case, I mean, I think eventually you start to know what's right and wrong for you, yourself rather. But I think when going for the next level,
yeah,
it's difficult to know how ready you are, what you know and don't know,
yeah,
in the boss's eyes. And he probably feels that whatever you don't know, you can figure out.
Yeah. Well, also, this individual knows your work product better than probably most people, right? Has given you problems to tackle that you've probably done successfully. Certainly would not suggest that you take his position if he didn't think that would be a good thing for the company.
You know, you might even want to go back and ask your boss why he or she feels
why
you're qualified.
Me?
Yeah, why me? Because it may be a personality thing. It may be an intelligence, or it could be a combination of things. But that would be helpful to understand what it is that you possess that this position holds for you.
Yes.
But the thing about the imposter, it's so funny because I always feel this way. Do you?
Every day, every minute of every day.
Yeah.
No, not always, but frequently.
Well, frequently. And as you age, of course, it gets less and less because you have enough evidence.
Yeah.
But I always, especially if I'm in a competitive environment with other people that do what I do, I always feel like, oh, no. They're going to find out that I don't really know anything.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you find out they just said something really dumb. Oh, my God. I know more than them. I can't believe I had any insecurity.
Right.
But I think it's fairly normal to have this imposter.
Very
although
normal.
People that have it think they're the only ones that have it.
Well, because it's a very intense form of fear, right, when it comes up. I mean, my version of imposter complex when I first began seeing clients was that every time I would say I'm a psychotherapist, I literally thought they were going to jump out of their seat and say, "You liar." You know, I had
this crazy
fantasy, right?
Did anyone ever do that?
No.
Let me see your degree.
She has it hanging on the wall.
Right, exactly.
But that didn't matter. And I think that's the thing that's interesting is that it is, in some respects, I think when you go outside of your comfort zone, so for this individual to stretch and go to a different level of responsibility, for many people, that fear of being tagged as an imposter will come up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so it's an intense fear. Very intense.
Yeah.
And one thing I would do, because I like the idea of going back to the boss and saying, you know, will you tell me precisely why it is you think that I'm the person who should take this job is I would take notes. Because the other thing is that information comes in and it goes right out again when you're sitting with that fear.
Mm-hmm.
It's very hard to absorb the confidence that others have in your capabilities.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the thing to remember is that a lot of people are suffering from this silently. They don't really talk about
You're
it.
You're in good company.
Yeah, you don't. People don't walk around going, I'm an imposter. Like, you don't usually say that. Yeah. And you can't always tell that they're going through that.
Yeah.
But I think so many people do experience this imposter syndrome, especially when you're taking a step to the next level.
Right.
So it's a new job, a new project, a new client.
That's right.
It's the next step, and you have to prove yourself.
Well, in some regards, the fact that you're feeling that imposter syndrome means that you're probably on the right track. In other words, you're stretching.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're stretching, you care, you're not sure, but others have confidence in you. So it's probably part of the growth experience, right, of going to the next level of something or taking a larger risk in something.
Yeah.
Very uncomfortable.
So you talk to more clients about this than I do.
Yeah.
Do you see that this is very, very common?
I do. And usually what I ask those individuals to do is similar to what you're talking about, but also to go to their colleagues or go to friends or people who've known them for a long time and let them recite the capabilities that they know this individual has.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's hard to pull it for yourself.
Yeah, it really is.
Mm-hmm. The other thing is I ask them to reference another time where they felt as if they absolutely couldn't do something. And how did they end up doing it successfully?
Mm-hmm.
Because chances are this isn't the first time that this person has ever felt like a fraud.
Yeah, whenever clients tell me this and I start to break it down for them and say, well, what is it, you don't know? Mm-hmm. It always comes out that they are totally qualified. Like, if once you talk it through with somebody, you realize that it was just a fear. It wasn't actually true.
Yeah.
And because if it is true, it's more than an imposter syndrome. It's, then you're out of your league. then you shouldn't be applying. But it's not real.
Most of the people who fear that they are going to be an imposter are have
right.
many qualifications. It's the ones who have no fear whatsoever that I think we have to watch out for.
I would agree with that.
They have a grandiose sense of their capabilities that's not
right.
always attached to reality.
Right.
So normalizing it for yourself, seeing that this is part of the process is a good thing. And Kathy, I think as you're saying, to talk it out, to take the fear and instead talk about the reality of your experiences and your capabilities. And also look at the infrastructure. Chances are if the boss is saying, I'd like you to apply for my position, he's imagining this individual will have the support of the company as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, maybe. I mean, I just feel like this boss feels this person is qualified and should be the predecessor. And that's a big compliment.
Yes.
All right. Well, what else?
So we're saying don't withdraw your candidacy.
Yeah, go for it. The imposter syndrome is normal.
Yes. So
and
shake it off.
Everybody suffers from it. I think most people suffer from it.
Yes.
Do you think Donald Trump is suffering from it right now?
He's a very special person. What do you think, Logan?
He's got to feel like an imposter because he's never been a politician, I would imagine.
Well,
we don't have to
characterologically, he's designed in such a way that I think he's not someone who probably suffers from this very often. And, he has a different... He's able to see everything he does as perfect and wonderful and the best that's ever been. So even if it's new, he probably assumes that he will be the best there ever was.
Well, I think he's also at a place in his life where he knows he can learn anything.
Probably
so. He has enough experience to know that he knows how to make decisions.
Yeah.
So he's probably not feeling it. All right, never mind. It wasn't a good example. But I think if you scratch the surface of most people, they do experience this from time to time.
Absolutely.
They feel as if they're an imposter and the person is going to find out that they don't know anything. Have you ever had it, Logan?
Oh, of course.
Oh, okay, good.
Definitely.
Good, you're human.
Yes, I'm human.
Yeah. Right, well, you're learning all kinds of new skills currently, right? So
right.
You work with people and then you're looking at having them look at you and you're thinking, I hope they don't ask me a certain question,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's all part of the deal.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's take a quick break and come back with question number two.
Ever feel like you or your company could use a 20-minute therapy session? Well, K-Squared has your back. Simply download a K-Talk, plug in those ear pods, or gather a group of your coworkers and feel better instantly. Well, almost. Each K-Talk covers a specific topic and costs a fraction of what a traditional therapy session would. Feeling stressed by your workload? There's a K-Talk for that. Working with someone who's done you wrong? There's a K-Talk for that. Can't ask for a raise, need a vacation, hate your boss? K-Talk, K-Talk, K-Talk. Just go to ksquaredenterprises.com and purchase the K-Talk that fits your situation. Now back to our show.
Welcome back, everyone. Logan, what's our second question?
I'm the manager of a customer service center at a large communications company. An opening recently came up for a senior service agent, and one of my least competent supervisees told me that he wants the job. Our company's policy is to let anyone interested apply for the job. I don't know whether I should just let him go through the process or warn him that he probably won't qualify for the position. If he applies and loses, I worry that I will have a bitter, less competent staff member on my hands.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
I think he should be warned.
Do you?
I do. I think he should be warned. I think he should be showed... you know, what skills he's lacking,
uh-huh.
and that it's a long shot. Everybody should apply if they, you know, want to leap to the next level.
Uh-huh.
But based on the skills he's lacking.
Uh-huh.
So good luck. But I think, you know, but I think that the truth should be told rather than later. I just think that will take the person's confidence. It'll put it more on a realistic level. Because if somebody thinks they're going to get a job and they don't, they turn into not a very good employee after that. And many times they have to leave. So I think you want to just put this person's expectations in check. You don't agree?
No, I do. I think what's true, though, very often for managers with this kind of employee is you want to avoid those conversations, those kinds
why?
Of conversations.
They're not gonna, why? What?
Because the concern is that they're not going to hear you, or they're going to think it's your problem, that you don't really understand what their capabilities are. But I'm with you, Kathy. I actually think this is a great example where we would say unhook with a business tool, where you would take a business tool, which is the job description itself, and go over the criteria and explain how you probably haven't reached these capabilities yet.
Well, yeah, and you can also phrase it, this piece will be a stretch for you. Maybe you can take a class at night on this.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you can start working on that now.
Maybe you can start showing up on time for work.
Stuff like that. You know, but I don't think you have to be mean about it. I think you can just explain that the qualifications of this job, you may reach one day, but you're just not there now, and here's why. And the thing is, they may feel that you're wrong, but I've seen this happen, and I've seen people later on thank that person.
Right. Well, and you could also acknowledge their ambition. Like, say, I think it's great that you want to go to the next level in this organization, but here's what I see that you would need to do to get there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then you have to pray this person doesn't get the job, because then you really look like you're out to get them. But you probably know they're not going to get the job. But that happened with a good friend of mine. Somebody came to her and they said, look, I'm just going to be honest with you. This is why you're not going to get the job. And it was accurate.
Interesting.
And, of course, she didn't like hearing it and thought maybe this wasn't her friend and had a lot of negative thoughts about it. But then in hindsight, later on, when she didn't get the job, she thanked her for that feedback because it did help.
So this is what we might call a tough love conversation, right, where that you can expect that the recipient will not be happy with the news, at least initially. And I guess I'm speaking that way from a psychological point of view, because it can be difficult to deliver news that you know someone else isn't going to like, that they may be angry about or displeased with.
Mm-hmm. I think it's, you know, handling expectations.
Yeah.
Having somebody understand what's realistic, a realistic expectation versus what their dream.
Uh-huh.
And there are people that are overly confident. What is that? Is that fake or that's real? The overly confident.
Well, again.
What is this?
Well, very often someone might be quite grandiose or arrogant, appear arrogant, and beneath it, they're insecure.
Yeah.
But still, that when you're facing that arrogance, it doesn't seem like it's an insecure person. It seems obnoxious.
But they are.
Very often. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it depends on who you are. Are you this person's supervisor? Are you their peer? You know, who are you? Is this the boss?
This is the manager.
Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the manager should have a real heart-to-heart and uh-huh. say, I want you to have this job, but let me tell you, you may be a year away. You may be 2 years away.
Right.
And this is what I see, you know, you having to go for. But that doesn't mean they shouldn't apply, put their name in and see what happens.
Right.
Because then at least the company knows they want to move forward, that they want to
right.
be promoted. But, so grandiose people in the workplace, they're a problem. I'd rather have an imposter syndrome than a grandiose.
Well, of course, because mm-hmm. people who have imposter syndromes or tend to be overly responsible. They're sensitive to others. They take care of other people usually more than someone who's grandiose, who's busy wanting you to take care of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's the work experience that you have with that individual. So with this person, to your point, if it's just he's eager and overly eager or eager beyond his skill capabilities, that's great. If he is grandiose, you know, or if he has an arrogant side, he won't like the information when he gets it.
Right.
And may push against it.
Mm-hmm.
But then you can say you've done your job.
Well, that's what I think.
Yeah.
I think that's your job, is to take the imposter syndrome person and help build them up and take the overly confident person.
Bring them down.
At least give them some realistic picture of what's really going on.
Yeah.
I guess it may feel like a tearing down, but it's really not. It's just really supporting them and to see reality.
Right. But it's another very interesting point, Kathy, which is I do think you want to know for sure that this person would not get that position.
Right.
Because if you tell them they're probably not going to get it and they get it, it's over for you, right?
Big time is it over for you. Yes, you have to be really sure that they're not going to get that job. That's right.
We've had a few of those situations.
We have?
Yeah.
I can't remember
no,
that.
Consulting, where someone, you know, may have been told they weren't going to get it. They did get it. And then whoever wasn't supportive at the time was toast.
I don't remember that actually happening, but yeah, I can imagine that's the way it would go.
Yeah. So I guess that's it. Give them that it's tough love. Tell them the truth. Tell them that it's beyond their capabilities at this time. Tell them what they would need to grow in terms mm-hmm. of skills and capabilities, and then send them on their merry way.
But tell them. I mean, I think there's a lot of managers out there that are just thinking, I'm not telling them. I'm not telling them anything. Let them fail. Let them not get their job. I'm not telling them anything. And I understand that too, and it depends on your relationship. If you feel
right.
that there's no room with this person to give them that kind of feedback, then don't waste your time. You know, so every situation is probably individual.
Well, what's interesting about it too is that this could be the conversation that turns your relationship with them around as well, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because if you've been watching this least competent person work and felt frustrated with their performance, this would be a bit of a clearing the air in terms of saying this is where you really are in terms mm-hmm. of your work
mm-hmm.
performance.
Just,
mm-hmm.
you know, be prepared. You may get some freezing out behavior for a little bit.
The old cold shoulder.
Yeah. Or something worse. Who knows?
Eye rolling is always a possibility.
Oh, that's always a good one. Or whispering behind your back about what a bad manager you are.
Yep.
Oh, so many things to look forward to.
But as
really.
A manager, you're not looking to make friends. You're looking to run a department.
Right. And to be respectful of individuals and have them be respectful to you.
Right. All right, well, I have to say I relate more to the imposter than I do to this overly confident person.
Uh-huh. Me too. So tweet us your stories and advice about the imposter syndrome or working with grandiose people to ask K2. Vote for us on Podcastland, review us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher, and don't forget to send your questions and stories to info@mycrazyoffice.co.
My Crazy Office is produced in New York City at K Squared Studios. Stay crazy.